I do have one financial disclosure. It's right up there. I've worked as a paid consultant for Consumers Union. They're trying to develop basically a hospital rating system similar to when you want to buy a car, you go to Consumer Reports. They're trying to find ways of doing something similar with hospitals. So so far they've used some of the Dartmouth Atlas data, which looks at intensity of care, and they've also used the CMS HCAHPS patient evaluation measures, and they're also now working on looking at some of the healthcare associated acquired infections data as well. I want to acknowledge my co-authors, who are actually students at the Dartmouth Institute. They're graduate public health students at the Dartmouth Institute. And here's again my financial disclosure. Briefly, what I'm going to go over are the costs, both in monetary terms and others, of hospital-acquired infections, sort of what the rationale is for public reporting, who's reporting and why, and then sort of what the data looks like that they're reporting. And now the data that we're talking about, this is disclosure that's based on state laws that state legislatures have enacted saying that hospitals should be disclosing this information. There's obviously other places you can get this type of information. Organizations like LeapFrog will also report it, but this is specifically reporting that's mandated by state law. So in terms of the costs of hospital-acquired infections, it's obviously a lot of people get them. A lot of them, people die from it, and it's obviously quite expensive, the excess costs that result. The rationale for public reporting sort of goes along two lines. One is accountability. You want to make these types of safety measures transparent, and the idea generally being that it'll lead to some improvement. And then number two is it's a way of giving consumers a choice. So in cases of elective care, particularly major operations, hip replacement or coronary artery bypass graft, where you have some time to plan, if you have a choice between two or three or four hospitals, you want to give the consumer the ability to compare quality measures and things, safety measures, such as their likelihood of getting an infection. And sort of a secondary benefit that people don't discuss a lot, but sort of seems kind of obvious and worth mentioning, is just that the more sort of outcomes and safety-related data we have that's public, that's valid and reliable and publicly available, the better in terms of our ability to research and assess the quality of care and how to improve it. So who is reporting what? There are now currently about 26 states that have laws mandating the public reporting of hospital-acquired infections. And of those states, 9 are actually currently reporting. Generally, the reporting goes through departments of health or some other sort of healthcare-oriented state entities. So if you're looking for this data, you go to the Department of Health website. Eight of the 9 states, all of them except Florida, they use the CDC's National Hospital Safety Network, which is a statistically controlled and validated risk-adjusted process for reporting. The most common things that are being reported are the central line associated bloodstream infections and surgical site infection. Surgical site is usually divided up between orthopedic, meaning basically hips and knees, and things like coronary procedures, open heart surgery. And then you see a lot, which is both good and bad, is for the central line associated bloodstream infections. You see very detailed data. It tends to be broken out by the type of ICU. For example, if you look up a New York hospital, you'll see their rates for all those different ICUs, which is great if you're a researcher. But again, when we're thinking that this data is supposed to be used by consumers or patients, it gets a little bit less clear. If I'm a patient going in, even for a heart procedure, will I end up in the ICU? I'm not sure. If so, if it's a surgical procedure, do I end up in the surgical or the coronary? And then there's this cardiothoracic thing. I don't know what that is. So it can be a little bit confusing at times. The data age and the comparison, what it's compared to, generally these are updated quarterly or annually. There's a few that have something in between. So it's relatively new data. It's obviously historic, but the idea is that it gives some, especially if it's on a quarterly level, it's probably going to give you some indication of future outcomes. Obviously doesn't account for any current ongoing quality improvement efforts. Comparisons are generally made against the national average, in other words, all other NHSN reporting facilities. So here are the 9 states that are currently reporting. And you can see all of them except Florida report the central line associated bloodstream infections. About half of them report surgical site. And then sort of the third most common infection that's being reported, and you see this in some of these other states, it's written into the legislation, they just haven't gotten to the point of reporting it yet, is the ventilator-associated pneumonia. One of the things that's, in terms of use by patients, the first two columns under where it says format, about half of the states, you find this data, it's in a PDF file, usually a pretty lengthy one, so you would have, if you're looking for hospitals, you'd have to sort of find your hospital and flip around to compare. And the other half have it in a database, which is much easier. You can just pull out the 3 hospitals that you're looking for. Or in some cases, you can look in your county and see what hospitals are available. So that's obviously for a consumer, especially anybody who's used to looking up this type of stuff on the internet. You're really used to the database more than printing out the PDF report. And this is what some of the reports look like. This is from Delaware. And again, as anybody who's familiar with hospital outcomes data, it's pretty apparent what's being reported. When you're looking at it from a consumer perspective, it may be a little bit less clear. So, you know, I'm seeing a list of hospitals, I'm seeing number of infections, that's sort of intuitive. Number of central line days, I guess I could sort of figure that out. I might not know how that applies to me. And then we see some rates per 1,000. We see reference to the NHSN, which is the national average, and you can find that in the report, but it's somewhere else or in an appendix. And then the interpretation, the p-value, which I'm sure is going to get many people confused. And then there's the interpretation, which again, we understand rate is not statistically different, or in some case, rate is significantly lower. The term significant, I think, has a different connotation to a consumer than it does to anybody who's used to looking at statistically valid data. And so rate is lower, of course, is better. In other words, it can get a little bit confusing. In this case, lower is better. Also, when you see different numbers, if I'm looking at the raw numbers, oh, there's 3, and then there's, I'm looking for any. In some cases, you'll see, you know, one hospital has 0 infections, another has 8, and they're both considered average, or they get the same rating, obviously, based on the number of cases, but that can get confusing in terms of trying to interpret that as a consumer. Here's another page from a report from the New York surgical site infection reporting. This is for coronary artery bypass graft. They tried to make it a little bit simpler by putting these little blobs, sort of like Consumer Reports does, where black is statistically better, so that's good, and then the white is bad, and then the sort of the halfway is average. Again, it still has some of the same, raises some of the same questions in terms of there's things like SIR, which as a patient I might not exactly know what I'm looking at. And then this is an example from South Carolina. This is one of several ICU categories. They have, I think, 6 or 7. So once I've decided, okay, I guess I'm going to an ICU perhaps, and I say this is the ICU that I might end up in, I can come up to this table. Unfortunately, this one doesn't even have a comparison. It just gives you the rates per 1,000. And again, even if somebody's looked at this data, I offhand can't tell you what if 2.82 per 1,000 is good, bad, or indifferent. So it just gets a little bit, can get a little complicated. So sort of briefly going over the good, the bad, and the ugly, I'd say the good is that there's this, obviously this move towards transparency and towards reporting more, being more open in terms of how good or bad we're doing with our care or in making people better or worse. More states are reporting each year, and this is both in the front end in terms of passing legislation mandating reporting, and also states actually starting to report. When I submitted my abstract, there were only 7 states reporting, and then now that I'm presenting, 2 more have come on board since then. So there's progress both on both the policy side and the actual implementation. And also, states are, by and large, using reliable, statistically controlled, and validated data. When you look at the actual legislation that's been passed, most of it is because states tend to look and see what other states are doing. Most of them have mandated the use, or strongly suggested the use, of the CDC NHSN methodology. The bad, I guess I would say, is that only a third of states who have laws saying that they have to be reporting are actually reporting. And in some cases, there's funding issues involved. There's also issues that there's a lot of legislative advocates trying to get the legislation to pass. Once the legislation is passed, it's sort of thumbs up, high five, and we move on to the next state. And then there's a lot less impetus push to actually do the implementation piece of it. Those states that are reporting, quite often the sites where the actual data is pretty obscure. It's pretty hard to find. I remember being told at one point, oh, Delaware is now reporting. And it took me a while to find out where you go to get the Delaware data. And I knew exactly the terms to search and where to generally look. If I was just somebody who found out that I had to have open heart surgery, I might not have even found it. There's also lack of guidance on how to use the data as a patient. Are all these hospitals that are average? Is that all? Are they all the same? Are there some, one hospital does 50 operations a year, another does 500, but they're statistically the same. What do I do? That's really unclear in terms of the guidance that's offered. So again, in the ugly portion here, the data, and it's good data, but it's just not being communicated well. It can be confusing. Again, that question of, I don't know whether I'm going to end up in an ICU, and if so, I don't know which ICU. And in some cases, it's, why is 0 the same as 8 in terms of number of infections? It makes sense from a statistical perspective, but again, for the patient, what do I do here? The databases are allowing comparison, I think, would be overwhelmingly preferable. They're just much easier to use. And finally, the last point is just that you have these 7 state or 9 states, and they're sort of all over the place. Of course, as we've sort of heard alluded to in 2 previous presentations, sort of healthcare has its own geography, and it's not necessarily along the same geographic boundaries that we draw on maps. So in cases where patients might cross borders to get care, you have reporting in Pennsylvania. You don't have it in New Jersey, but there are going to be some Pennsylvania patients who go to New Jersey. It doesn't do them any good, so it would be much better if we could, once we get to a point of having actually a nationalized system or a system where all states are reporting. Thank you.